Hey there, roomie. My roommate Ava rolled across our oversized beanbags, setting aside her glossy gossip magazine. How are you today? Great. I've got good news. I shut the door and stuffed a towel under the gap. Guess what it is? I'll guess, but you have to listen to my good news first. I've got two amazing things. I'm listening. Okay. She sat up. You know how I've been stealing toilet paper from my job for our apartment? Yeah. Well, the manager just switched from the terrible sandpapery brand to the two-ply soft kind, so we are about to be wiping our asses with some grade-A sheets from now on. She smiled proudly. I already nabbed 6 rolls and put them in the closet, so let me know when you notice the difference. Will do. I laughed. What's the other thing? I paid our rent this afternoon, but that asshole had already changed the locks, so he says he'll get us a new key if we pay the next month on time. He's not going to get us a key to the current lock at all? No. She shook her head. He says we seem to do just fine getting in and out without the right keys. He did ask me if he could borrow a few packs of condoms, though. We both laughed, and I plopped onto our couch. Anyway, you look like you're about to burst with your good news. She stood to her feet. Let me try to guess some smaller things before you explode with it, though. Go ahead. Guess one. Did you finally break up with your boyfriend, whom I hate with every fiber of my being because he's not good enough for you? No. Doesn't hurt to ask. She smiled. Guess two. Did you figure out the new password to our neighbor's Wi-Fi? Actually, yeah, I did. I nodded. It's stop stealing my shit, you thieving ass bitches. Are there any spaces in that, or is that all one word? It's all one word. Let me try it. She picked up her phone and tapped the screen a few times. Perfect. It works. Now, what's your real good news? I got my first career job today. The words fell out my mouth faster than ever. Like an actual salaried job with benefits, relocation expenses, and paid vacation time. And on my way home, the HR director sent me an email saying that they're going to give me a $9,000 advance against my next check. What? She jumped up and down. Really? Yes! I wiped a few tears from my eyes. I was hired on the spot, and my salary is so ridiculous that I still can't believe it. Is it $80,000 a year? No, higher. $120,000? Even higher. She looked stunned. $150,000? $350,000! We both screamed at the same time, and without any prompting, we did what we always did whenever there was a rare cause to celebrate. She took out a bottle of cheap champagne, and I took out our freezer's most prized possession, Dean and DeLuca cookie dough. "Give me the play-by-play," she said, uncorking the bottle. "Did the Russ Stock Exchange make you think they weren't going to hire you before they brought out the contract? Was there clapping once you signed it?" "This isn't for the Russ Stock Exchange. That's a story for a different day." I waited until she'd poured both glasses, until she'd raised hers for a celebratory sip. "You are now looking at the new personal assistant. No, wait, the executive assistant to Preston Parker, the CEO of Preston International." "What?" She spat out her champagne. "What did you just say?" "I'm the new executive assistant to Preston Parker at Preston Hotels. Or is it Parker Hotels?" "It's definitely Parker Hotels." She set her glass down and didn't look so thrilled anymore. She looked terrified. "You're not happy for me now?" I asked. "I know the title isn't exactly legal advisor, but being his executive assistant covers a full realm of responsibilities, and they require a business or law degree. They even said that if I do a good job, I can move to his legal department within 3 years. "Look," she shook her head and let out a breath. "As your best friend, I'm beyond happy that you finally got a job, but I don't think we should be celebrating this one." "Why not?" "Because you're about to work for Preston Parker." "Preston Parker?" I gave her a blank stare. "You had no idea who he was before today, did you?" "No." I shook my head. "Is he more than a CEO?" She sighed and walked over to her extensive magazine collection, tossing me 5 copies of Mr. New York and 3 copies of Page Six. His beautiful face was plastered on each cover, making me realize he was even sexier in person, but the headlines on Page Six were far from flattering. Mr. New York wins big again, but one of his former assistants tells all. Mr. New York tramples his competition, leaves another assistant in the dust. Mr. New York makes every new assistant sign an NDA after leaving latest one stranded in Paris. So he's a celebrity? I asked. No, he's a mogul, a filthy rich and completely arrogant mogul. She flopped onto the beanbags. If you would ever join me in reading the gossip rags here and there, you would have run like hell the second he offered you that job. Even when he offered $350,000 a year? Who says you'll last a year? She pointed to the magazines. Read them. Now. I flipped through the pages of the first magazine, feeling my chest tighten with each printed word, feeling my heart race with uncertainty. He's a ruthless asshole, cold-hearted boss, worst boss I've ever worked for. The only good thing about him is the view, until he opens his mouth. I flipped through an issue from a couple of years ago where he was giving his final interview, and I thought for sure it would cast him in a better light. But I felt my jaw unhinging as I read the first few lines of the transcript. Interviewer: How does it feel to be a top five finalist for the Mr. New York Award again, Mr. Parker? Mr. Parker:
I feel like I should always be in the top two, and I should never be number two.
Interviewer: Well, Reeve Henderson of NYB is also having one hell of a year, sir. Mr. Parker:
Reeve Henderson is a multimillionaire. I'm a billionaire.
Interviewer: Well, at this stage in your career, surely you know money doesn't buy everything. Mr. Parker:
When you finally get some, you'll see that it actually does.
I tossed that issue across the room and opened another, then another. Then I realized that I'd just signed on to work with the cockiest asshole in all of New York City, that I'd sealed my fate with a man who once told a male interviewer,
I hope your fucking is better than your in-depth interview questions. If not, I would highly consider working on improving the former, as the latter is completely hopeless.
What the hell have I gotten myself into? 2 months later. 6. Tara. The miserable middle. Please don't sound yet. Please don't sound yet. Mornings like today made me wish I had access to a time machine so I could go back and slap the hell out of myself for making whatever decisions led up to this very moment. It was only 3 o'clock, but the skies were releasing a relentless rain over the city, and I was forcing myself to enjoy the only time of the day that I ever got to myself. I was sprawled across my beanbags, my feet wrapped in pain relief ice packs from running around New York in designer stilettos. A thermometer protruded from my lips, showing a traitorous normal temperature, and I was watching the alarm clock like a hawk, waiting for the second hand to land on 5 so I could toss back my next set of stress medication and deal with my dream job for another day. Over the past couple of months, I'd taken a crash course in the world of hotels, and it was far more complicated than I'd ever thought. Every day brought a new round of crisis meetings, a new goal of Parker-level excellence to meet, and for guests who were paying a minimum of $500 a night to stay in any of Preston's properties, disappointment wasn't an option. To ensure perfection, Preston stopped at nothing to make it right. He was utterly ruthless, and everyone knew that he'd fire you in a heartbeat. In my short time working for him, he'd never taken a day off, never mentioned needing a break, or traveled away to spend time with his family. In fact, rumor had it that he didn't have a family at all. He was a machine, and I was certain he never slept. He was also an asshole, and I was more than certain that I wouldn't be his employee for too much longer. Ding, ding, ding. The stress medicine reminder on my phone sounded, and I washed the pills down with water. Scrolling through my texts, I sent my boyfriend Michael a quick message. Me: Hey, I'm up thinking about you before work. Hope you'll still be able to help me look for a new apartment this weekend. He answered me right away. Michael.
Oh, you're still alive? LOL. Sure, babe. If your boss lets you have a life outside of your job this weekend, I'll be there. Are you coming to my happy hour tonight?
Me. I'll try, but I can't promise since my boss is hosting a shareholders meeting. Rain check, just in case. Michael.
Always. I'll email you something during your workday to make you forget all about him. Looking forward to finally getting you alone again once you get off probation. Raindrop emoji, eggplant emoji, raindrop emoji.
I sent him kiss emojis in return and smiled. We hadn't spent more than a few hours together since I started this job, and although a part of me was upset about that, another part of me, one I couldn't explain, was perfectly fine with the new strain. When I checked the time again, I felt my smile slowly slipping away. And in 3, 2, 1, my phone buzzed in my hand, and my inbox came to life for the 61st day of my new career. Subject, Mr. Parker's breakfast order. Please confirm before pickup. Subject, meeting request for Mr. Parker. Subject, notes for Sarasota meeting. Subject, schedule change. Jones opening moved to Monday. Subject, cancellation confirmation needed. Private flight to Rome next Wednesday? Subject, Mr. New York interview request. I groaned and got off the beanbags, taking a quick shower and slipping into my favorite nude dress and a pair of red-soled heels. You know what I'm not going to miss about us living in this apartment? Ava sat up from her air mattress in the corner. What? The fact that I can hear your every move even when I'm sleeping? She laughed. Why do you insist on getting up so early every day? You don't have to be at work until 8 o'clock.
Because, Miss Lauren, I said, mocking Preston's voice, the people who I'm not directly depending on don't have to be at work until 8. My right hand needs to be up as early as I am, and she always needs to beat me there to set an example. Or else.
Has he ever explained the or else part? She asked, because if it's hot punishment sex, I think you should consider being late every day. I laughed. I hope to never find out. I've officially decided that I'm only working for him for 6 months, so I can have enough in the bank to stay steady until I find something less hectic. You sure about that? 100%. I grabbed my briefcase and hit the lights before walking out of our door. When I made it outside, a town car was waiting for me as usual, and a driver was holding the back door open.
Good morning, Taylor, he said.
It's Tara. Like I've told you and everyone in this company my name, and you all are still calling me Taylor. Is it that much harder to say or something? He didn't answer me. He just held the door open and smiled. I slid onto the back seat, answering 5 emails before we made it to the end of the block.
Can you verbally confirm all the stops for this morning, Taylor?
The driver asked. Yes. I didn't bother correcting him this time. We need to stop at Aldman's for a pickup, Tom Ford for his suits, the pier to ensure his newest yacht was repositioned properly, Dean and DeLuca for his breakfast, and we'll grab his coffee last. He nodded and passed me a small basket of chocolate before turning up his music and heading toward Aldman's. When we were halfway there, Preston's name, my asshole boss, flashed across my screen. I debated whether I should answer it, whether I should figure out the or else part after all. I gave in before it could go to voicemail. Good morning, Mr. Parker, I answered, fake cheer in my voice. How may I help you?
I'm calling to make sure that you'll be arriving to work on time this morning, since you were 6 minutes late yesterday.
I was only 2 minutes late.
You were still late,
he said, his voice deep.
Late enough that I wasn't the only one who noticed. Seeing as though you're my top aide, I can't afford to have anyone thinking that you're getting special privileges from me, that you're getting on top of me, when it's clear that your position is under me. I also don't want you thinking that you'll ever be able to come as you please without my permission, especially whenever the two of us begin to work on the Von Strum deal behind closed doors. Clear?
I said nothing. I wasn't sure why this man's voice was capable of making me wet in a matter of seconds, why even in his moments of pure assholery, his words were constructed in a way that always made me think of sex.
Are you there, Miss Lauren?
He asked.
Am I talking to myself?
No, Mr. Parker. I heard you loud and clear.
Good. No, besides the fact that you'll need to come on my time and not yours from now on, I'd like to make a change to my coffee order for today.
Are you planning to finally get it yourself?
Excuse me,
he said curtly.
What did you just say?
I coughed. Nothing. There was something in my throat.
He said. I would prefer caramel cream from the Sweet Seasons Cafe today, and make sure my coffee is exactly 155 degrees.
Seriously? I rolled my eyes. Noted. Is there anything else, sir?
Doesn't sound like it.
He hung up in my face.
Ah! Something wrong, Taylor?
The driver looked at me through the rearview mirror.
Do I need to pull over?
No. Keep dragging me toward hell, please. I brushed off Preston's rudeness and made it through my first few errands. I know why you're calling, Mrs. Vaughn, and I'm sorry. I answered my phone the second it buzzed. I'm not sure why his stylist is having problems dropping his suits off on time these days, but I'll look into it as soon as I can. I waited for her to say a few words, and then I answered the incoming call from his personal trainer, then his lawyer, then his pilot, then his goddamn yacht cleaner. Why this man needed 8 yachts, I'd never know.
It's 7:35, Miss Lauren, the driver said. Are we still stopping at the Sweet Seasons Cafe?
No, we are stopping at McDonald's. He nodded and pulled over at the McDonald's right up the street. I opened my purse and pulled out an empty cup I'd stolen from Sweet Seasons Cafe. I'd made this a part of my routine for the past week and a half since that shop was 5 blocks out of the way and completely ridiculous. For $15 an ounce, the baristas brewed Colombian specialty beans, and they made each cup one by one. They refused to take online orders, and even though Preston had been a loyal customer for years, they refused to have his coffee waiting and ready in advance. They claimed that the experience of getting the coffee made fresh was what justified their price, and they didn't want to dilute their brand. They also asked their customers what temperature they wanted their coffee served, as if someone could honestly tell the difference between 140 and 150 degrees. It all tastes the same. I'll have a large regular coffee, please, I said, taking my place at the McDonald's counter. Can I have that with caramel, and can I have it in this cup?
Of course.
With 10 minutes to spare, I made it to his office and set up his desk the way he liked it. Coffee on the right, folder full of printed articles and reports on the left, current hardback book in the center. I made sure his short list, a comprehensive summary of every email he needed to address and his current schedule for the day, was written neatly. I even added a few notes and suggestions of my own.
The boss has entered the building, people, someone in the hallway shouted. He's in the lobby.
I knocked his folder onto the floor. Shit. Quickly picking everything up, I tried my best to place the files as they were. As I was slipping the financial reports back into place, I noticed an old picture of Preston standing with another Preston in a black cap and gown. Behind that picture was another one with a double dose of Preston. This time they were wearing blue jeans and standing in front of a billboard in Times Square. Everything about the men was identical, down to their stunning green eyes with flecks of gray. He has a twin? The boss is now on the elevator, someone else shouted. With seconds to spare, I made it to my office and slipped into a pair of flats under my desk. Moments later, Preston stepped off the elevator, wearing a dark gray Tom Ford suit that put every man who'd ever worn a suit to shame. His silver cufflinks shone against the bright hallway lights, and his receptionist's cheeks turned bright pink at the very sight of him. He walked by my open door, said,
"Miss Lauren,"
and nothing more. He shut his door, and I waited for his usual email to make sure I was in the clear. My email pinged minutes later. Subject, my short list.
Miss Lauren, I've read this morning's edition, and it took me longer than necessary because you misspelled variety, residuals, and inconsequential. You also wrote your own notes, which I didn't ask for, and gave me your opinion on certain meetings, which I don't need. I thought your profile said that you have a minor in English. I'm tempted to call and ask Princeton if they have a return policy. Preston Parker, CEO, Parker International.
Biting my tongue, I pulled up my file titled New Jobs to Apply To and filled out two applications for nearby law firms before tackling more messages in my inbox. As I was declining an interview for Mr. New York, Preston stepped into my office.
Miss Lauren, he said,
his expression unreadable.
Can I speak to you in my office for a minute?
You're actually asking and not demanding? The words rushed out of my mouth before I could think them through.
Now, Miss Lauren.
He motioned for me to get up. I followed him into his office and he shut the door behind us. He waited for me to take a seat in front of his desk, and then he leaned back in his chair. He stared at me for several seconds, looking as intense as he did in my fantasies last night, and then he began to speak.
I used to pride myself on hiring good people, Miss Lauren, he said, people I could trust not to steal or betray me. Now, given how our relationship started, I can't honestly say that I thought you'd never steal from me again, but I was hoping that I'd never face your betrayal.
What? Mr. Parker, I can assure you that I haven't betrayed you in any way. I'm very open and honest about every meeting I've taken, and I've been nothing but honest since day one. He held up his hand, silencing me. Then, as if he hadn't heard a word I said, he continued,
Given the fact that you've lasted longer than my last 10 assistants.
20, I corrected him.
Excuse me?
I've lasted longer than your last 20 assistants. A slow smile spread across his face, and he picked up his coffee, taking a long sip.
Okay, he said, my last 20 assistants. Given the fact that you've lasted longer than those, I thought that maybe we could begin a solid foundation of trust. That maybe this was a sign that you were ready to start working with me on more serious matters. However, for the past week and a half, it's come to my attention that you've been betraying me every single morning.
He narrowed his eyes at me.
I don't appreciate traitors in my company, Miss Lauren, and I tend to fire them on the spot within seconds of me finding out about their betrayal, no matter how trivial the offense is.
Silence. My face paled. I had no idea what the hell he was talking about, and terrible boss or not, I couldn't afford to lose this job right now.
I told you that I wanted Colombian coffee from the Sweet Seasons Cafe on Park Avenue,
he said finally.
Is that not what I asked you for?
What the fuck? Yes.
Interesting. Well, what's unique about Sweet Seasons Cafe is that they place a solid chocolate drop at the bottom of every cup.
He picked up his cup of coffee and poured it into an empty glass.
And it always sticks to the bottom when you're finished drinking it.
He turned the empty cup toward me, and I swallowed.
No other coffee shop in this city does that, Miss Lauren. It's kind of a trademark, a subtle wink to their loyal customers who are willing to spend $15 per ounce. It's how I know when I'm drinking their blend or when my new assistant is filling up one of their cups with bullshit.
I didn't mean to,
as you can see,
he said, not letting me finish my sentence.
Miss Lauren, if I can't trust you to get me the right cup of coffee, I'm going to have a hard time trusting you with much else.
He set the cup down, and a smirk crossed his lips.
Nonetheless, I'm a man of second chances, so I will give you exactly 30 minutes to get the correct coffee that I asked you for.
Okay. I stood up, but he held up his hand, motioning for me to stay put.
There's one last thing, Miss Lauren,
he said, making me hate the way he said my name, the way he was able to turn me on despite his rudeness.
I'm not sure if you've thoroughly read your employee handbook, but tech support is required to flag and report all emails that are sent and received from any domains that belong to my competitors.
He paused.
Well, the domains that belong to people who think they're my competitors. Are you familiar with the email address michael.elliott@marriott.com?
Yes, I said. That's my boyfriend's email address. He's an intern at Marriott, and it's only a temporary job for him. He's not some type of corporate spy. He said, looking me up and down.
Well, now that I know he's not attempting to get any insider secrets from you, I'll consider having tech support turn off the alert. That said, Allow me to give you and your boyfriend some advice.
He picked up a sheet of paper and walked closer to me, making my heart race faster with every step.
I think you should watch what you send on my company's server, because certain emails are far from appropriate.
I've only called you an impossible asshole once in my emails.
That's not what I'm talking about.
He glared at me, and then he looked at the paper.
Subject, let me make it better. Yes, I'm talking about fucking.
I gasped, hoping like hell a sinkhole would open up in the floor and swallow me right now.
Then there's a huge problem with the message itself.
Preston continued reading, smiling as he did it.
Tara, babe, don't worry about your terrible-ass boss. I'm more than willing to help you de-stress whenever you get a break. I want to plug your vagina with my cock and lick it all over for as long as it takes to make you forget about your job. Just say the word. Are you feeling kind of...
He paused, raising his eyebrow.
Water emoji, water emoji, water emoji.
My cheeks were on fire. Preston set the paper down and closed the gap between us, looking directly into my eyes.
Inappropriate work email aside, he said, you need to tell your boyfriend to work on his vocabulary. If he's really so concerned about helping you de-stress whenever you're free from your terrible-ass boss, then he should just say, I want you to sit on my face so I can eat your pussy until you come in my mouth, until the only thing you're able to think about is how good my tongue feels when it's sucking on your dripping wet clit. And the next time you get a break, you should invite me into your office so I can bend you over the desk and let your pussy feel just how hard my cock gets whenever I'm thinking about you.
He stepped back, still keeping his eyes on mine.
Then maybe if he said those things, he wouldn't have to ask if you were wet. He'd know. And perhaps since he's clearly corny as fuck, he'd say umbrella emoji, umbrella emoji, umbrella emoji.
My panties were wetter than they'd ever been.
No,
he said, snapping back into asshole mode.
Go get me the right coffee.
6B. Tara. Later that evening, at 6 o'clock to be exact, I paced in front of my office windows, waiting on Preston's suits to arrive. Today marked the fourth time in a week that they were late, and no matter how nice I tried to say, please be on time next week, his stylist never made it to the office a second before 7. I pulled my phone from my drawer and sent Michael a text message. Me. Definite rain check on happy hour, since he's making everyone work late, and I'm still waiting on suits. Also, I may need a rain check for apartment hunting, too. I have to fly to Cali for a meeting with him. Can you help me next weekend instead? Michael.
Of course, babe.
I started to ask him how his day was, but Cynthia stepped into my office and slammed the door shut. May I help you with something, Cynthia? I want you to know that Mr. Parker was going to pick me to be his executive assistant before you. She crossed her arms. He said I was more than qualified, and he was looking forward to taking me on all of his business trips. Would you like me to ask him if you can still go on those trips? I'll happily let you take my place. No, I would like you to know that I am rooting for you to fail. She looked dead-ass serious. You've lasted 2 months, which is pretty impressive when it comes to his assistance, but this streak won't last. It won't last at all. Do your eyes normally bulge out of your skull like that? I asked, terrified of the way she looked right now. You may want to get that checked out. My eyeballs are just fine, and they can see that you're a 3.5-monther at best, Taylor. I've started a new employee pool with a bet on how long you'll last, and no one has you getting past 3. Her eyes bulged out even further. We don't usually invite the Taylors to join us on things like this, but for you, I'm willing to make an exception. You want 3, 4, 5, or 6 more weeks. Most people are betting on 4, and a few risk-takers, not me, are putting their money on 6. Before I could tell her to get the hell out of my office, Preston opened the door and stepped inside.
Miss Lauren, why aren't my...
He paused, looking at Cynthia, then at me.
Why aren't my evening shortlist and coffee on my desk?
I don't know. I forced a smile. I definitely put them there half an hour ago. You couldn't have, Cynthia said. They weren't on his desk when I delivered his memos minutes ago. Maybe you're imagining that you did it. This bitch. You're right, Cynthia. Maybe I'm just imagining that I delivered his shortlist and coffee.
Well, I'm not paying you to play make-believe, Miss Lauren.
Preston slowly looked me up and down, turning me on against my will.
I would like the shortlist on my desk within the next half hour, and I would like my suits to stop being late every week. No other assistant has had these delivery issues as much as you.
He left the room. Cynthia headed to my door right after him, coughing. 3 months max. I quickly rewrote the shortlist and made sure I placed it in Preston's hand before leaving his office. I wasn't completely sure, but I thought I felt him staring at my ass as I walked out. I overheard Cynthia laughing as I returned to my office, and an idea suddenly hit me. Cynthia and the stylist were best friends. I'd seen them laughing over lunch on several occasions, and they always glared at me whenever I walked by. No wonder his suits are always late. They're trying to sabotage me. Livid, I pulled up my job description and called George to make sure I was interpreting the chief of staff clause correctly. When he assured me that I was, I took the elevator to the lobby and waited for her to arrive with this week's wardrobe. Good evening, Miss Lauren. She smiled at me as she rolled the rack inside at exactly 7 o'clock. I was telling the driver that it's been great to finally have a consistent EA around here. I was also telling him how it's unfortunate all the designers and tailors are so late these days, you know? Must be a red carpet season. Save it, I said. Save all of your bullshit for someone who will believe it. What? Her eyes went wide. Don't play dumb. I rested my hand on the rack. Do you know that as Mr. Parker's executive assistant, that I have the power to hire and fire his auxiliary staff without asking for his input? That you are a part of that auxiliary staff? No. Her face went white. No, I didn't know that. Well, now you know. Nonetheless, since I'm not petty like you, and I'm not allowed to fire your best friend upstairs, I'm going to do you a favor. I glared at her. I'm going to give you another chance. From here on out, you're going to deliver his suits in the morning, not the evening. You're going to allow me to look them over and approve them so we can see him in something other than Tom Ford all the time, since you strike me as the type of person who probably has a payoff with a clerk at that store. She looked away from me, confirming my theory. I thought so. As of today, you're going to be the best stylist and runner he's ever had because you're not going to make his executive assistant, who is levels above you, look bad anymore. Are we clear? She nodded. I need you to say it. I won't make you look bad anymore. Thank you. I reorganized the suits on the racks, moving the ones I liked best to the front. I heard about the employee betting pool, so how much longer do you think I'll last? She looked down and shook her head. I'd rather not say. Why not? I asked. If you're bold enough to attempt to sabotage me, you can at least tell me how long you think I'll last here. 1 more month. 3 months tops.
6 months later. 7. Preston. Hiring Tara Lauren is officially the worst thing I've ever done. Hiring Tara Lauren is officially the best thing you've ever done, Preston. George passed me a binder. At least she was, and I really appreciated her while she lasted. I flipped through a report and pretended to read. I hadn't been able to get my daily work completed up to my standards since Tara started working for me. Everything about her was a distraction, and I'd lost count of how many times I'd envisioned her bent over my desk with her ass up, begging me to fuck her deeper. The hardest working executive assistant I'd ever hired, she was good at her job, and with each passing day, she became even better. Despite her lack of hotel experience, she'd caught up in no time. As opposed to my other assistants, who simply waited for me to tell them what to do, she was always 10 steps ahead of me. She studied all the tiers of my hotel brand to the letter, and she could recite the mantras and amenities better than some of the people who'd been working for me for years. She was even changing the culture for my top staff, firing and hiring people who she thought would help me best. Still, there were three things about her that drove me absolutely insane. One, she had a smart-ass mouth, and unfortunately the sarcasm that dripped from her seductive lips only made me want her more. Two, she couldn't whisper worth a damn. At least she acted like she couldn't whenever she was muttering about how much she hated me under her breath, how much she thought I was an asshole. Three, she had a tendency to refrain from wearing panties under some of her dresses, and I couldn't help but notice every time. On those days, I insisted she come into my office every half hour for small tasks, so I could get a front seat view. Her hiring came at a pretty good time, too. George's voice snapped me out of my thoughts. Her performance gives me hope that we'll be able to really nail someone who will last 9 months or even a year next time. She really was good. I'm sorry. What? I looked up at him. Why are you saying that she was a good hire, as in past tense? Because I just got a call from the Greenwich firm. You know, the place where most of your previous executive assistants end up going. He asked me if I could give her a good reference before she came in for a final interview today. And what did you say? I clenched my jaw, livid that she'd gone on a job interview behind my back. Well, I told him I'd have to call him back since I was heading up here to meet with you, but I'm pretty certain that it'll be a great reference. Unless I'm missing something. You are missing something, I said. Miss Lauren has a non-compete clause in her contract. In addition to some other clauses I've added. So, your other assistants did too. It was never a problem when they wanted to leave. Well, it is now, so don't give her a reference, ever. If they ask you why you can't give one, have them call me. What? You heard me, I said. I think it's time that we start implementing all the terms in our employee contracts. We need to set the tone and make sure people aren't using this as some type of launching pad for another job from now on. He shut his folder. Do you want me to tell her that she's wasting her time by going on all these interviews then? How many has she had? At least five that I know of so far. What the fuck? Five, George? He shrugged. I get what you're saying about the new enforcement, but maybe she didn't read the fine print of her contract. The non-compete clause isn't in the fine print, I said. It's on the second page in bold black ink, along with a lot of other basic terms. I'm sure she read it. Her interview is at 3 o'clock, Preston. He looked at his watch. It wouldn't kill you to tell her that she doesn't need to go across town for it. She never told me she had an interview, so actually it would kill me. He rolled his eyes and stood up. Thank you for reminding me how petty you can be. You're very welcome. I'll be back in an hour with the Von Strum files, he said. It'll take us all night to go over them, so I'm going to get some lunch. He left the room, and I immediately sent Tara an email. Subject: new meeting today. Miss Lauren, I will be going over the Von Strum files with George at 3 o'clock today. This is the most important deal I'm about to pursue, and you're required to help. Preston Parker, CEO and owner of Parker International. Her response didn't come back immediately like normal. I refreshed my inbox seconds later. No answer. I waited a full 5 minutes and scrolled down to her name in my phone. Before I could hit call, she walked into my office wearing an olive-colored dress that perfectly hugged her curves, with a pair of nude-colored heels that made me envision her wrapping her legs around my waist. She's definitely not wearing panties today. I'm finished with everything on today's shortlist, she said, placing a folder on my desk. I've added some things I think you